פרק שביעי, הלכה א', המונה לכהן גדול גרוש וחלוצי לכהן אדיור תכניס לו עבדי מלוג ועבדי צאן ברזל. עבדי מלוג לא יאכלו בתשומה, ועבדי צאן ברזל יאכלו בתשומה. ואלו אין עבדי מלוג, ואם מתו מתו לה, ואם הותירו הותירו לה. אף על פי שהוא חייב במזונותם, nonetheless, לא יאכלו בתשומה, they have to be paid for non-truma. ואלו הן עבדי צאן ברזל, אם מתו מתו לא, אם הותירו הותירו לא, היה והוא חייב באחריותן, הרי אלו יאכלו בתשומה. Says the Gemara, מניין לכהן שנשא אישה, this is basically a brayta in the Taras Kayam, how do we know, literally in Taras Kayam, in Emor, how do we know that a kohen who marries a woman, v'kanalo avanim, or who buys avodim, שיוכלו בתרומה, even though they're not kohanim, obviously. תמוד לומר וכהן, כי יקנה נפש, קניין כספו. So since it says over here, the kinyan of a nefesh who yochal bo, it tells me that the kinyan, whether it's a kinyan ishus or a kinyan eved, a kinyan kaspo is kinyan. Minayim li'ishto, shekamta avadim, and how do you know Bas Yisrael who married now a kohen? And she herself owns avodim, that are nichse malug. And how do we know that avodim, that brought avodim, in a case where someone gave money, v'tznai she'en other in reshus behem, how do we know that they too would be eating truma? Talmud lomar, the kohen ki yikneh nefesh kinyan kaspo. The additional kinyan kaspo over here comes to tell me, kohen ki yikneh, Kinyan Kaspo Nefesh. So the Kinyan Kaspo was, went ahead and was Kona. Even that, Av Kinyano Shekana Kinyan Ochel. See, even the Kinyan of a Kinyan will eat Truma. Rav Yaakov Bar Acha and Rav Hila B'Shem Rav Elazar, they learn it from the last part of the Pasuk, Heim Yochlu, and we read that Heim Ya'achilu. So they can be machil others, such as his wife or his eved. If they eat, they are machil others. Be eved shekana avadim, of course, almanat shein lo rabba reshut be'amim batnit. The only way we can find a reason for needing such a ribud is where someone gets, because otherwise, I mean, it's ridiculous. If it's kinyan kaspo, then that kinyan kaspo is an eved would have no ability to be kind of something for himself because komash kana eved kana rabbi, in which case they'd be eating it because of the grandfather, so to speak, not because of the father who's the eved. They go directly back to the kohen. The only case where we would need the extra drosha from kinyan kaspo is talking about where someone gave money to the eved on condition that the owner has no rishus to use that money. So an eved who went otherwise was kanavanim, then it would be amanat shel rabba reshut behem, and it's directly kinyano, if the adon has reshus. So then it's the kinyan of the adon, we don't need the extra pasuk, then it would be straight according to yikneh. You don't need the extra ribud. Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha, Rabbi Hila, b'shem Rabbi Elazar, says that an eved who was kanavanim, amanat shelo ye reshut l'rabo behem, and now mate, the eved goes out and dies. These nechasim have the same thing as the nechsegia. So kol hakodem b'am zocha. Since the rab doesn't have rishus, when the eved dies, by definition he has no yorshin, because an eved cannot have yorshin. So anything that the eved has is hefker. So it's the same thing as nechsegia. The odon is not in a mu'udaf position. He's not in a better position than anybody else, because he has no rishus in them. Therefore, anybody could go and be zocha in them, because it's being zocha from the hefker. Hester Gemara, no hacha lo kinyan kinyanohu. It says in the Mishnah that where the woman is asura here to the kohen. So in that case, avdei malug cannot eat truma, right? Okay, but this woman, even though she's asura, why isn't she kinyana? You're right, fine. Bad boy. He should never have taken this woman. Some money looking at God all. But Lamaisa, she's a kinyan. So the av de malug, the kinyan of a kinyan, so they should certainly be eating the truma. Rabbi Law says, b'shem Rabbi Lazar, hem yochlu is the basis of hem yachilu, which says, ha ra'ui le'achol ma'achil, but she'eino ra'ui le'achol eino ma'achil. So since over here, the woman herself is also to eat truma because she's an aman l'kohen gadol, so then she can't be ma'achil truma to her rabbi. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, truth is, midya raisa, the avodim have a right to eat because they are kinyan kaspo of kinyan kaspo. However, the rabbanon created a knas where there was an illicit marriage in order for her to be thinking, good Lord, what am I, some kind of prostitute? I don't have any rights, my rabbanon can't eat. And therefore, in the end, they will get divorced. Ma nafak b'meneya, and what's a nafkamina between these two svaras? Nafkamina is an eved ora who himself is not allowed to eat truma. And he goes ahead and he buys avodi. So intem a knas. You're going to tell me the only reason that you cannot eat is because a knas ain't kan knas? Then why would there be a knas over here? But in Temara Wilachomachil, if however it's Xeris Akosim, based on a deal in the words Kinyan Kaspo or Yulid Beto Hem Yochlu Yaachilu, so then only one is Ochel Machil, and Oro can't be Ochel. Vize Hoyo Veno Wilachol Eno Machil. A tremendous nafkamina. Says Rav Yaakov Aracha, the only machlokas before is Bavli Tzon Barza. Because Rabbi Lazar holds Amana L'Kohen Gadol does not eat because of Mishen Roy L'Echol Inu Machil. Rabbi Yochanan who holds that it's a din d'rabbanan because we want to encourage the marriage to dissolve. That's talking about Nichse Tzon Barza. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, and if Makran, if a Baal would sell Nichtei Tzon Barzel, Inan Mechurim, the Nichtei Tzon Barzel are in his Rishus only in terms of our prayers, but they're not considered to be his completely, and he can't sell them. Omar Le Rebelazza says, I don't understand. If they're eating Truma, how could they not be his? Ochlim Betrumah Mikocho. And you're insisting that they're not his? Atam Rahim? You're insisting that the Avdei Malug of the Amon Lekohen Gadol are not Erchol Betruma through the wife, because she's Inu Ruya Lechol. So Avdei Tzon Barzel are eating Betruma because it's not her. Can't be because of her, because we said because of her they don't eat because of the Gzeir. So then they've got to be eating because of him. Huh? You say that? Just like today, the Israelis dropped the hay. They were no better in those days. So how do you say the Amochur Nabalei Namochurim? If they're eating, then it should be his to sell too. Omar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan said, L'shitati, there's no naftimi, which would have the Meluk, and have its own barzel. And have its own barzel, eat truma, because they're called his avodim. Avdei Malug are also going to be Ochel Betruma because they would be considered to be his. I mean, Hare Avdei Malug are Ochel Betruma Mikocho. Va'at Amet Mochmanin Amachurin. If you're going to say the same thing, you're going to say, since they're eating Betruma, even if it's an Amon of the Kohen Gadol Midi Rice, why are they eating Betruma? Because they're considered to be his. Certainly, I'll answer the same question. I mean, in Mochran, in Amachurin, Mochran, anybody. So Mishalcha Natnulecha. Obviously, you have, in other words, you deserve what you got. Your own svara shows that you're wrong. Bedinu Shelo Yochlu Betruma. The truth is that they're not considered to be the Avdei Habal because they're not in his rishus. And nonetheless, whether they're Avdei Malug or Avdei Tzon Barzel, and they're considered to be Kinina Isha, and L'Chor Amon L'Kohen Gadol eats. That's the point when you arise, whether they're Avdei Malug or Avdei Tzon Barzel. Elamai, it's the Chachomim's Knas. So the Chachamim would come to Ave Malug because they want to encourage her to feel that she is worthless and a simple prostitute. But when it comes to the Ave Tzon Barzel, they didn't make such a gezeira. So the whole thing was really only a problem in Rabbanim. Ve'ein amru machnaninam nechurim. Since even now, Ave Tzon Barzel are partially in rishus of the Isha, the Baal can't sell them. I understand what your concern is. You yourself have to be made that there's an ability for a Kohen to be machla, despite the fact he doesn't own it personally. He's machla for the woman. Rav Yaakov Bar Acha b'shem Rav Yoshia says, Masnita misayeladin. The bride is a riot to Rav Elazar that if the Baal sells Nechset Tzon Barzel, that they would in fact be properly sold, because there is complete. Whereas the Matnita, there's also bright that it's Messiah than Rav Yochanan. Let me tell you. Matnita, Messiah, Rav Eliezer. Here's a bright that says what Rav Eliezer says. Ave Malug Yotze B'Shem V'ayim. So that if the owner of the Ave Malug breaks a tooth or blinds them, so they're Yotze. Who is the owner? Li'isha. Only if the wife goes ahead and busts his tooth. Boy, she is an aggressive woman. Avalo leish. But if her husband breaks his tooth, it's like somebody else breaking the tooth, and he doesn't go out free. So if the Kohen, the husband, hits him, he's not Yotze L'Cheres, because it's not his, it's Avdei Bilu. But Avdei Tzon Barzel, where they were written up in the Ksuva, and the Baal is Chayv and the Achrayas are considered to be his, therefore, they're Yotze B'Shem Vayim to him. Avalo Li'isha. So from there, you see that they're considered to be entirely the husband. And they would be Yotze, in the same way the Yotze B'Shem Vayim, obviously he could sell them. If he frees them by Shem Vayim, then that means they're his in terms of freeing them. And if he sells them, he sells them. It's exactly the same thing. Ooh, that's a problem. Ma'avile Rav Yochanan, what indeed would Rav Yochanan do with this brisa, where it's clear that they go out free? How could he say that it's not considered to belong to him? And he answers, Kalhu b'shichru. The truth is, me'ikar ad-din, they would not be yotze b'shem v'ayin to the ish, because it's not really his. But since the people view it as being his, so the people will come to be mezalzel in being violent to your slaves. Therefore, the Rabbanan made a takana that we free the slave, not that the slave goes free, but that he has to free the slave in the event that he went ahead and he hit him. And it would be similar to the case that we have, God of the Tani, similar to the case we have in a Brisa, that where somebody borrows money and he mortgages his Eved for the money that he borrowed. So he's Osa Abdo Apotiti. And now he tries to sell the Eved. Mochro Eno Machor. If he sells the Eved, it's not a kosher sale because there was a lien on this Eved for the outstanding loan. But if Shichrero Meshuchra, nonetheless, if the Lova frees the Eved, the freedom is Chal, even though the lien was on the Eved. Now, the only way that you can understand that is because the Chachamim can create a situation that can remove a lien. Because since now people hear about the Shichrur, and they don't necessarily hear about the mortgage, so it's necessary for the Chachamim to, once his Yotzel of Shem Ben Chorin, to continue to provide for that Shem Ben Chori. So they free the Eved. They force you to free the Eved. In which case, here too, even the Ikar Adin, maybe its own Barzal, are not his, as I claim, says Rav Yochanan. Nonetheless, once it was Yotzel of Shem Ben Chorin, and people consider the Eved, ooh, look at this, he had his tooth knocked out, they're considering him to be a Ben Chorin. We don't take a Ben Chorin and make him back into an Eved. Therefore, he's mechuyev to be mishakrer. That's the Raya from the Braita, and that's Rabbi Yochanan's response to the Raya. On the other hand, we have another Raya that's a riot, another Braita that's a riot to Rabbi Yochanan. Matnita Misayeh Alel Rabbi Yochanan, who holds the Nitzin Son Barzil are not in the Rishus of the Baal. Ani Machram Einan Mechurim. Where do we see that? It says in the Braita, Echad Adi Melud, the Echad Adi Son Barzil, Einan Biyom Liomai. Normally the din is if a guy hits his slave. So if you hit a free man and ultimately the guy dies as a result of your attack, whether it takes a month or it takes a year, you will be killed for the attack. But when it comes to an eved that you own, the halacha is that the Torah said that if he lives for 24 hours, then there's a special kula that you're not chayav nisa. The din, however, is that whether you're dealing with nichsim avdei melud or avdei barzel, there's no halacha that the Torah was makel to give a din of living 24 hours. Right. And they're also not yotzei b'shem v'ayin, neither to the ish nor to the isha. Because in order for an Eved to be Yotzi, he has to be Miyuchat to an Odin. And over here, the Eved is not completely Miyuchat to either one of them. So the Aved Son Barzel is not considered to be completely the Baal's, because the woman is still Brushita, which is right through the Odin, clearly. But he cannot sell him. If it was his, and he could sell him, it would be Dien of Yom Yomai. Matligin, what now? To what extent is Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar argue whether he can sell Tzon Barzel? Beishem Machran La'olam, where he sells them a real sale, meaning where the sale is that even if he is to die before his wife, that the halacha is that they belong to the lokeach. Or is the machlokas even if he sold them only Lisha'ah, so that if he dies first and never gets full possession of these avodim, then indeed the avodim will belong to his wife. Are they arguing even in that case? Now we explain. If you could tell me the machlokas is when he makes a complete and final sale. But everybody would agree if it's not a final sale, that it's certainly a kosher mechira. So then, here's the correct gerson. Avo mochron l'sha'a, divrei hakol mechurin. Or itemar, maybe you could say that the machlokas, bishem mochron l'sha'a, avo mochron olam, maybe everybody would agree, einam mechurin, to be discovered tomorrow. Okay, we're holding on the bottom of Lama Tessa Manalev over here, Masechet Yevamot, Almanah Kohen Gadol, Perek Shvi, Halacha Aleph, and we were wondering about the Machlokas is for Mechira. Is it talking about Mechira Le'olam, or is it talking about Mechira Le'sha'ah? Machlokas over here about Mochran Mechurin, or Mochran Inan Mechurin in terms of who owns the Eved, which is Tzon Barzel, Lagabe. How does it work, the Achila B'Truma? Does it require complete ownership or not? So you're wondering whether the Mokharan L'Sha'ah, is everybody made that the Mechira is a good Mechira? Or do we say that the Machalok is Mechira L'Sha'ah, but Mechira L'Olan, everyone is made that in Mechira? Mechira, that's where we interrupt. Now, Shmina Minhad. Now, let's bring a Raya from the Braitha. It says, someone makes a soda, the object of a mortgage. A potiki is what we call a mortgage. It's a specific mortgage on this property as opposed to a general lien against being able to collect from a person, which anybody could go try to collect from your house. So he makes a soda a potiki li'ishabach tuvata, so that she would be able to collect her ketuvah as a mortgage against his field, or for a balchov to be able to collect his debt against his field. Machra zarezo mechura, if he sells it, it's sold for so long as it doesn't need to be collected. Halokeach, in a case where he goes out and buys the rights to in the event. In other words, he makes a condition that, like we often, we sell now financial instruments of in the event to buy a insurance policy that, you know, in the event that it will be paid up and so on. So over here, he could buy, in the event that the wife will not die during her husband's lifetime, or not at night. There's rights that a husband has to let's say his wife's property. Right? But if she doesn't die, if he dies first, then he doesn't inherit. So now, what if somebody wants to buy those rights? Obviously, he can't overbuy the rights where somebody has a lien, but he can buy in the event that this lien will never be actualized. So I'll give you 20 cents to the dollar. Right? I'll buy your property, 20 cents to the dollar, because I figure those are the chances that I'll be able to get. So I get it for a premium. Or I buy a lousy loan, 20 cents to the dollar, hoping I'll be able to collect. Or I buy an insurance policy that's a term policy, it's going to run out at the age of 80. I'll pay you for it, a certain amount of money. I don't know if you're going to die before 80 or not. I'm willing to pay, let's say 50%. I'll buy it. By the way, that's a very lucrative way to make money. Yeah, but you can actually sell your own insurance policy back to your insurance company. And it will give you quite a bit of money. Let's say you have a $500,000 insurance policy. You can sell it back to the company, let's say, you know, give me $50,000 and then you don't have to pay me if I die. But it's a very useful instrument. So over here, the same thing would be true. Now, he goes ahead and he buys now, yichus liatzma. He buys the chances, okay? So the same thing over here. Maybe the love will not pay back the loan. So he buys the rights to this field in the event that you do end up collecting it. I buy that right. I don't know if you're ever going to get this thing because the guy may pay you. Just in case he doesn't pay you, you end up collecting this field, I'm going to give you now 10 cents to the dollar that you sell to me now in advance. Okay, so in all of these cases, even though at the time of the she'ibud of the ketuvah, or at the time of the loan itself, so there were other property to collect, the Ribbonei Chori property, at the time of the Gvia, now you can't taina. Normally you can taina if you don't make it up. Say, Nafi lacham makom nigvot. Right? I left you somewhere else to collect. In other words, when I go and buy a piece of property, all I have to do is see whether there's free property at the time. If there's free property at the time, then I know I'm first in line, and that if there's any liens, they'll be exercised against the other property. That's the norm. Because after all, that was B'nai Chorin at the time that I made my purchase. Over here I'm buying property that's a potikid, okay? Since I made it an apotiki, that doesn't work. Because you can't say, well, I left you other properties. No, I left you other property in a case where there's a mortgage against a particular property. You can't buy a house that has a mortgage on it. The guy doesn't pay the mortgage. You say, well, go collect from something else because I bought it. Too bad. You bought it with an apotiki on it, right? Are we okay? You're looking like this is strange to you. I don't know. I see your face is good. Your smile is going down. I'm usually trained to look at that. Okay, you know.
I'm not found that statement to the words here. I found the explanation, but I'm not linked it to the words.
No, he's got to be careful. Buyer beware.
Okay,
caveat. Yeah, right? Caveat employees.
Emptor.
Okay, so Alokev, Yichus Latzmo, he's got to worry for himself because he can't taina. I left you Mokum Likvot. It's an apotiki. It's your own problem. Took a chance, you lose. Maybe. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and Shimon ben Gamliel argues, and he says, B'yishabik tuvata, if the Baal attempts to sell on the basis that the field will not be collected, it's b'chalein a machur. It's not even a sale. give him back the money. There's no such sale bechalal. Because shelo onat al dad shetehe isha machazeret al batei dinim. After his death, so now what's going to happen? That she's going to go now to court and to try to get back the field from the guy that bought it on this basis? She got married to him on the understanding that that wasn't going to happen. I mean, that's why there was an apartheid, right? So she's telling him, look, I didn't get married to you to give you the rights to sell and then me worry about it in court and to prove that I had a mortgage. That was the whole point. You gave me the apotheke so that I don't have to worry about that. Therefore, the sale is bottled. Omru, so they said in the yeshiva, Atya, the Rebbe Lazar, who holds that we just saw, if the Baal sells nichse tzon barzel, but that's a good sale. So that seems to be going according to the Rabbanon over here, who says, yechush la'atzmo, right? Because it's a good sale. Now the only question is, okay, you may lose. So she'll take you to court, and she'll end up proving that she had a mortgage, and you'll lose. And Asya, the Rabbi Yochanan, holds him machar, eno machur, he seems to be saying exactly what Shimon Gamliel says, that if you sell the apotiki of the ketubah, it's not a good machira. Why? Because it's understood that part of that deal is that a woman does not have to be mitvazeh in Beit Din to get back her property. That's part of the din of the ketubah itself. So the same thing is true of all nichsei tzon barzel. A person did not marry his wife or put the tzon barzel in the ketubah with the understanding that she should go to court to try to get it out of the hands of the Talmud. And therefore it's ena machura. This seems to be exactly this machlokes. If you hold yachush la'atzmo, so then that means the bechira is a bechira. If you hold ena machura, so then that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan was saying, like Rabbi Shmuel Yochanan. Have, based on that, if we're comparing now the sale of tzon barzel to the sale of an apotiki, where obviously I can only sell it until the time of the collection. Nobody thought for a moment I would have a right to sell the mortgage property and not have to pay the mortgage. That for sure is not what it means. So what is the machlokas over here? L'sha'a. I'm selling it on the chance that you may be able to keep it. And if not, then you'll have to give it back, right? That's the yachush la'atzmo. So the only thing that we're talking about over here is l'sha'a, obviously. And there's where the machlokas is. Havi b'machran l'sha'a no kayamim. So obviously the machlokas with Rabbi Yochanan here and Rabbi Lazar is about where I'm selling it, not lohotzi mi de l'shibud, but rather within the context of the shibud until such time as it's paid. Avali machran alon, nobody held it would be machur. So if somebody tries to mix its own barzel permanently, and then say, well, you'll just collect the money, you can't collect it. There's no such thing. And Mathira is not a Mathira. Is this clear? Everybody has like this face on. Let me go over it again. We have a Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar, about what the din is of a Baal who sells Avdi that are tzon barzel. The reason we got to this Machlokes over here is because we were wondering what the din is of Achila Betruma through the Baal's Kinyan, whether that is sufficient to talk about his apparatus, or does it mean he actually has a Kinyan of the goof that allows him to sell? The Gemara wondered whether the question of whether he can sell would mean, and that's a Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Lazar. The Gemara was wondering whether that means he sells, if you hold he's able to sell, he can sell permanently. Then he has to give the money to his wife in the event that she collects the ketubah? Or does it mean obviously he can't sell permanently? Machlokes is only whether he's allowed to sell even temporarily. We found a braita that says, nothing to do with the case of eating truma. We found a braita that says that if a guy wants to sell on the basis of 10 cents to a dollar, the tzuva, or nips its own barzel, or is not the same thing. In this case, it's talking about there was a sota that was an apotekis. He has a mortgage against his wife's sota. He wants to sell the sota that is mortgaged to his wife for collection of mitzvah. We found over there in Machlokas Tanoim about whether he could sell or not. It says there that everybody compared this to the Machlokas with Yochanan and Belozer. It's obviously the same idea. Do you have a right to sell on the chance of a maybe something that's not really yours because it's lien to be paid back, which is exactly what Son Barzel is, really. It's yours, but it's not yours. It's the ultimate lien, right? The ultimate apotekis. So therefore, says the Gemara, look, if the Machlokas over here is the equivalent of the Machlokas for Elazar and Yochanan, did anybody over here think for a minute that you have a right to sell a field that is mortgaged to your wife's ksuva permanently, and now your wife can't collect from that field? Of course not. Obviously, she just goes and takes the field, right? The only Machlokas is whether she's mitpazen beit din or not. That's all. Well, you have a right to even sell it temporarily. That's the Machlokas. There certainly is no Machlokas about selling it permanently. So we can extrapolate from that that when it comes to the Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, about Nitzay, Avdei, Son Barzel, it's the same thing. Same Machlokas as over here. Nobody in his right mind would have thought for a moment that you could sell permanently. So it's a simple comparison that we're making. Are we all right to continue? 13 minutes. Yeah, let's try to get to the end. Okay, so Avali Nochav Alman, for sure, the Reakol Inan Mechui. Now, Velad Behemat Melug Lebaal. Behemat Melug means that he gets the produce. Produce includes the child, if this is the Gemara's servants, so that now, if that Nichse Melug, but she gets Yerusha, the wife, which was not written up in her ksuva. She now goes ahead and inherits it. He gets the right to use it. So now the vlad belongs to the baal.
Complete.
Okay, now it's even if the vlad itself, if the animal dies, so then the Karen, something is left, the ore and so on. The vlad is completely his. Vlad shifchat maluk, but if a woman, let's say, has a shifcha, was not included in the era of the ketubah, she has a child, that goes to the woman. Why? Because if the shifcha dies, she'll have nothing. She can't use the or of the shifcha. So there needs to be something that the woman will have as a keren. So with the animal, she has the or as a keren. With the shifcha, she has the child as the keren. That's a sugging silver, it's not Nungaz right now. Chananya ben Achi Yoshua, Emer, he argues, and he says, Vlad Shechas Merlug is no different than a Vlad Bamas. We're not chayish for Kilui Karen, and therefore makes no difference whether it's a human or whether it's a behema. It always goes the Baal. So Rabbi Lozer said to the Chavraya in the Yeshiva, Havanyadi, that Rabbi Yochanan, you should know that Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Chananya Ben Achi Yoshua, that makes no difference. It's a Vlad Shifcha, it's a Vlad Behema. We're not Chayesh to Kilui Karen in the death of the Shifcha. And Rav and Shmuel argue, Rav holds like Rabbanon, that a Vlad Shifcha's Melug goes to the woman, and Shmuel holds like Hanani Ben Achi Yoshua, that a Vlad Shifcha's Melug also goes to the Baal like a Behema. So most of Shmuel and Rav, Adait Chadat Amar Mishalishayim, that you who hold that the Vlad Shifchas Melug goes to the wife, because he thought that the meaning is, because you don't consider the Vlad to be like Peres, you consider it to be the equivalent of Shevach Nechassim. Shevach Nechassim are not called Peres. In other words, when the Karen itself becomes more valuable, so then that's not called given to the Baal. So he, Shmuel, thought that that's what Rav was saying. Not because of a chash that something will happen to the shivcha, and then she'll be left with the case of Kilui Karen, where there's nothing left of her money at all. So he adds, if that's the case, and you view it as shevach nechassim, lo yitola b'chor pishnayim. If you're calling a vlad shevach, so why would a b'chor take pishnayim in the vladas that were born after the death of his father? The din is that a b'chor is not Neitel Pishnayim B'Shevach. Let's say the property becomes more. When the father died, it was worth $1 million, the estate. Now it went up in value. It's worth $2 million. He only takes Pishnayim of the first million. The second million he shares equally with his other brothers. So according to you, the din should be that in Vladeis, if they're viewed as Shevach, it'll be the same exact halacha. And that's not the case. Says Rav to him, Hagavatsma, please. You're not thinking correctly. Even if you would be right that the vlodes are considered to be Shefach, you don't have a problem. Because, for instance, let's talk about a case where Sheikh Nisatam Ktanim V'Gadlu, okay? Certainly your Maida, if the woman brings babies now, okay, into this marriage, and they get older. So that Shevach is definitely not considered to be Shevach of the type that belongs to the woman. Your Moda over there, that belongs to Rachel Ishan. Va'ad Moda, Lishabachor Noto Pishnai. Your Moda in that case, because it's Shevach, it's called Shevach Dasimimeo. Shevach that comes as natural reborn, a natural growth, is not considered to be a Shevach that is not Noto Pishnai. And that Noto Pishnai with market value changes. Over here, where something grows, that's called Shevach Dasi Memela. It's a Bechor Isnaito Pishnayim. So why isn't the Vlad Shevach? Even if, first of all, you're wrong, but I'll discuss that in a moment. But even if you'd be right that my Sfar is considered to be Shevach, it's considered to be Shevach Memela, in which case a Bechor is not to Pishnayim. However, the truth is that that's not even my reason. His reason is because it would be called Kalyar Karna, and we don't take Shevach, which may end up being the only thing that the woman has. Tani, now, it says in the Tosef, Tichnisan Yiladin, Notalatan Ne'arim. She brings Avdit Son Barzal to her husband. These are little babies when she brings them in. They become now older. So now, if he dies, or he gives her a get, even though in this case, the Shevach is Labaal, whatever the shuma is, she takes the shuma of its current value. Let's say that she brings some barzel, and they evalue the kelim, right? The kelim are worth together 200, let's say, 400. One of them is worth 200, which happens to be the value of a ksuva. So now what she would do is she would take one of them for a ksuva, notalatov ktuva. Now they're worth double, and now they're worth 200. She takes it for a ksufa, and at this point, she has one that's the value of the shuma that was written in her ksufa. The other one is Zoya Echad Mechza Yofer Ktuvata. Let's say now one of them wasn't worth the whole thing. Now let's say it's worth 1.5, or it was worth before. It's worth 150%. So Rav Nachum Bar Yaakov argued. One says, no thing to me, Hasheni Menot Lo, she'd have to pay. In other words, she doesn't have schus for the second one, she only has schus for half the second one. Because half of it belongs to the Baal, she's taking half for her ksuva. So there the Baal should be able to pay her what he owes her and take it. Because she doesn't really own it anymore. Whereas Chorana, by the other one, says, no, give her the rights to pay the other half and take it. Because she has some schus to it. Once she has some schus to it, the Baal can't take it. She has first dibs, and she pays them off for whatever it's worth. Because in the ksuva was only valued at 100. Now it's valued for 150. She took the other kli for the full value of the ksuva. Now she's got $50. She took 150 for the first kli. She's got $50 of the second one that's owed her for the ksuva. Since some of it is owed, she could pay the other 100 and keep it. Not that they keep it and pay her the 50. Now we have this back looks at the Baba. Rabbi Vakano Makame Rabbi. Rabbi Yaakov Aracha says, B'Shem Rabbi Yossi, wrong. Even if now they were worth, one of them is worth, so that means that even in the first kli, maybe she'd have to pay Dami. She's always allowed to keep her own kelim, because of Shevach Beit Aviyah. Shelo alat al dat, shishtamshu acherim bekeleha. When she was machnisas son barzel, her kelim, it never occurred to anybody that people would be allowed to keep her personal property just because now it went up in value and she's collected one for Ksuva. I'm sorry. That's not that. She never loses a right to Shavah Beitaviyah. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba B'Shem Rabbi Zira says, you see that clearly from a Braita, Matnita Amrakim. It says, if an Isatan B'damim, Natalatan B'damim. Even where the Tzon Barza became valued to be more than the original Shuma, she takes the Kli and she pays their value, according to what they are worth now, with the deduction, of course, of what they were originally worth. Rukhiya Barada Boykame Rabbi Mana, Mahu Abde Malum. When we say that they're called Nixay Malum, why are they called Malum? Oh, Ma'alaykum, oh, that time, Malik Malik. Look, you take a tarnagol, and you go out and you're moleg the tarnagol. So what do? You pluck off the feathers, basically. But the body of the chicken itself isn't affected by plucking off the feathers. Same thing is true over here. The baal eats the paras like plucking off the feathers, but the body itself, the karen, remains. That's the meaning of malum. Taman taninan, it says in the Mishnah, in Bechara, and the Kabbalah, Tzon Barzel, and Agoy. So now you have the same din at Tzon Barzel. You took an animal, you guaranteed him the animal back, such and such a value, no matter what happens, whether it's worth more or worth less, and then maybe it dies, with the understanding that in exchange for your work, you take half of the vladas. But you're taking the responsibility on yourself. There, the vladas are brought to Menah Bechora, and because you're shared. Vlade vladas, but the Bechora that comes from the vlad of a vlad of the behemoth of its own barzel, there, the guy doesn't have any rights. He only has rights to the vladas. So there, the vlade vladas are chayim. Rabbi Yirmiyah boys, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, Amanat Amar vladas l'rishon, you said that over there, vladas of its own barzel go back to the owner who is the guy, and are therefore potter mina Bechora. But when it comes to Nixay Tzon Barzel in our Mishnah, you just said the vladas go to the Baal over there, and you didn't. The only argument that we had was by Bama's Malum, right? Tzon Barzel, everybody agreed was to the Baal. Omrev, yes, Tamana Yadesh Ikra L'Rishon HaVladas L'Riba Becharos. The issue is whether the guy has some shaykhis to it. That's all. That was, if it turns out that the goof of the behema is not here. So since he has a price, the goof will be toe-faced of vladas. Since he can be toe-faced of vladas, he has his yad. We say yad akumam. His yad is all over. Because he still might come ahead now and take them. So therefore it's called yad akumam. It's potem nevchar. But over here, brahma acha, yadesh ikro l'shem. Over here, the woman doesn't have a right to the vladas as long as he wasn't megarish. So therefore, the vladas are considered to be shaykh to the baal, who in this case would be the shepherd. But in that case, the shepherd can't be viewed as the real owner of the vladas, because the guy can always come and collect, because he can always time it. Ah, my animal died. I'm not waiting for you to pay me. I want these vladas. Right? So I'll pay you. No, that's the deal. So that's what. But what's the woman going to say? What? My animal died, I want to collect the blood. Hey, what are you talking about? If I die, you can collect. If I give you a gift, you can collect. There's nothing to discuss right now. I owe you money at the time of collection. So over there, of course, it's completely Rishus HaBaal.